Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's May 8th, 2013. Wow, a lot going on this weekend. Maybe I'll get a sneak preview on tomorrow's Merge Gospel just a minute. They got to show up.
It's like the Wizard of Oz. The curtain is still drawn. Yeah, you can't look in.
You know what? I was thinking about this the other day. I can't remember if I told you, but maybe, say somebody's thinking, you know, I can't commit to join you the next nine various Thursdays, you know, the second and fourth Thursday, but I'm interested in knowing a little more or seeing what it's like. I was thinking, you know, if you want to come and not candidate, what do you do when you like preview a course in college? Is that term where you audit it? If you want to just come and audit, I think we could have you come and you can sit in with the group. I do still have some extra Merge Gospel Series books, and maybe you just want to come and purchase one. But if you want to show up, tomorrow night we're going to have popcorn, thank you God, for the Savoy 16 Theater. They're going to do like two or three big garbage bags of popcorn. And
when we go to the movies, I won't eat all day long. I won't eat all day long, so I have tons of room for that popcorn.
Yeah.
Because I love that. And we'll polish off a bucket before the movie even starts.
Yeah, and they have like a 25-cent refill or something.
Oh, we used to go and we used to have friends, and they would bring one of those paper sacks, like from the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, those of you who are out there who are younger, you're going, what paper sack? What's that? That's when the guy at the end of the thing says paper or plastic and you don't answer. So he puts it in plastic. Paper sack. And we would just dump the popcorn in there and then run out, get another one, dump it in there, run out, dump it. And we would take that home.
Yeah. Now it's closed they're remodeling the theater on Prospect Avenue,
Beverly. Yeah, we were just there yesterday, and it still looks like they have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, and they used to have a thing, I think, on Tuesdays, where you could bring any size tub or bucket or whatever, and they'd fill it up for X amount, and so.
Yeah, when I was in Peoria, there was a theater, and it was a smaller theater. I think it was privately run, I don't know. But the movies were always like $4.50 or something, but they would have on Tuesdays, bring your own bowl. And so you would bring your own container to put your popcorn in, and then the popcorn was like a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, so if some people are going to be going out to a movie tonight now, they need some of that popcorn, but we're going to have ample amounts of popcorn for our group, I guess about 150 or so that show up for our Merge Gospel Series. It's being held at Judah Christian School at 6:30 p.m., but we've encouraged people to get there like at 6:15. So we can have some good fellowship, get everyone organized, so we can start right at 6:30, because Pastor Jason Schiffel loves to share and divide God's word and allow time for some interaction, some conversation, and to really get the message into our hearts and minds so we can be those faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's tomorrow night, the Merge Gospel Series, Judah Christian School. It begins at 6:30. And again, thank you, Columbia Street Roastery, for providing the coffee and the teas. And some of the people have been bringing desserts, so it's always fun to gather. And that, again, will happen tomorrow. On Friday, you may have heard the interview a week or so ago with Stephen Seifert. But the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast is coming to the First Christian Church, and there's still time to sign up for that. I know, Jason, you and I will be attending. Mm-hmm. It's all day long. In fact, I'm going to...
Are we getting Chick-fil-A for lunch there?
That'd be kind of nice. They are providing something, and I think there was chicken breast sandwiches as an option. I don't know who's going to be
providing. That's worth it right there. Lead me to Chick-fil-A, and I'm in.
And they'll have coffee there too, Jason.
So. Hey, I like that Chick-fil-A. We used to go to a conference for our denomination, and every year it was in the same place, and there was a Chick-fil-A right there. And I remember the first 2 years I was with the church, I came back, and they were like, we don't understand. I mean, we think you're shortchanging how this works, because your receipts for your meals are only like $20 total for 2 days or 3 days. And I'm like, yeah, that's because I eat Chick-fil-A at every meal. I eat like a $5 chicken meal at every meal. And they're like, well, in the past, you know, the pastor always went out and had a nice dinner. I did have a nice dinner at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of your denomination, I don't know if you were tuned in Monday when we had the special, if you will, kind of drama where C.J. Sizemore was in the studio and he told Colonel Sanders' story. But he was led to Christ at 79 years of age at an evangelical free church.
Yeah.
And then that evangelical free pastor had a trip to Israel, and Colonel Sanders joined him and got baptized in the River Jordan.
Wow.
So I just thought that was kind of unique.
We're not infringing on any kind of trademark by talking about Chick-fil-A and Colonel Sanders at the same time, are we?
Oh, I don't know. Equal opportunity provider.
There you go.
That's it. So anyways, the LeaderCast, you can find out more by going to CUleaders.event. eventbrite.com, and that's event, eventbrite.com. You can register. There's still time. Great News Radio happens to be one of the sponsors of this event, so I'm helping promote it, and I'm going to have a display set up, and our older program guides will be made available. I'm working on the new and improved updated version. I think we've had about 10 program changes since we last printed it about a year or two ago. But LeaderCast this Friday, basically it goes from 7:30 to 4 p.m., but I think the doors open at 7 o'clock and there'll be some displays set out.
And there's breaks, I think, too, if I remember in the past when I've seen these.
Yeah, breaks, and I think some worship time, and even Habib is going to share. He's a local leader, Christian leader, one of the sponsors of this, or the main sponsor locally to bring this together at First Christian. I think he's going to share. I've heard some great things about him. One of these days I'm going to get him on the morning program, but that's the LeaderCast, and I'm looking at the calendar. Is there anything else going on? I guess there's a lot of things going on. We're going to have some special guests in the studio next week. I'm working behind the scenes to pull that all together, and yesterday, if you got to tune in, I'm sure many of you that have been longtime listeners to this radio ministry and have prayed up many of the different requests that we've shared over the airs or the unique ways we got to see God at work. I hope you were blessed by me testifying to some of the things I've seen him do, I've witnessed because of your prayers. I really feel it's all you that have interceded on behalf of this radio ministry, that have asked God to work through unique mechanisms, through people, through finances, through resources, through circumstances, through his providence, that we've seen many miraculous things take place. And anything that God does is miraculous, even the fact that we're breathing today, that our lungs are functioning. Thank you, God, for that. But I thought it was a really
good
program.
Somebody said to me the other day, they said, Jason, do you, because we're walking through at the church, the book of Acts and the Holy Spirit, so definitely we're talking about signs and wonders and awe and all the different things that are going in there. And so somebody said, based on something I said in the sermon, they said, do you believe in miracles? And I looked them right in the eye and I go, well, we're here, aren't we? I mean, yeah, like miracles, you bet, because we're breathing and we're here. What a miracle that we are. So it's just so funny, like you said, that we're here. So
Yeah. And really, everything that God does is miraculous. I mean, it's special, it's unique.
Okay, I remember what we had that drought. That was last year, right? We had no rain all summer. And I mean, my lawn was like dead. It was like tumbleweeds and, you know, the dirt was blowing out from underneath it. You know, and yesterday I mowed a lawn that was like beautiful. It's green. It's lush. It's like the best carpeting you ever put your feet on. And it's so funny how that lawn went from brown and dead and nothing to living, breathing. And it's just, for me, I told Tasha yesterday, my wife, I said, look at God's miracle in such a simple way that what we had qualified as dead and gone has been resurrected and is new. You know, and so, you know, 1 Corinthians, you know, he makes all things new.
And how fast everything grows. Everyone's testifying to this with all the rain we've had. But like the hostas, I mean, literally like an inch or two in a day or two. I'm like, how could something possibly grow that fast? Yeah. I mean, growing before your eyes. I guess some of the farmers sometimes, when you see the corn grow that fast, you know, knee high.
I'm shocked. I'm like, whoa. You know, it rained the other day, and I think it was like all of a sudden the grass was like twice the, I'm going, oh my gosh. I mean, I knew I had to mow before that, and after that it was just clearly evident.
Hey, everybody.
Or we'd lose the kids when they went out to go play.
Hey, everybody, do you have your hummingbird feeders up? They're back. I had my first Oriole actually about a week ago, just for one day.
Double stuff right? Or regular?
Yeah, that's right. And it's like, wow, that means the hummingbirds will follow, and they didn't till just recently. And all the great birds are back. I have talked about this over the air, but I have different seeds for different birds. I have like 8 feeders right outside my window. You see them every time when you walk in. In fact, when you come into the front door, there's all those seeds, the sunflower seeds, or they seem to drop the seeds right near my front walkway. But the rose-breasted grosbeaks are back, and they're great birds. Different warblers are flying through. I guess they only stay for a few weeks and then head further north. But I'm seeing some of the best bird sightings. I had 5 rose-breasted grosbeaks at the same time. All these blue jays are showing up. And then I had the indigo bunnings, which are kind of like a brilliant blue bird that is almost, it looks tropical. And then all the finches, the house finches and the golden finches and on and on and on. I was one of my neighbors came down. We had Judy Seifert had her 70th birthday. And when I was hobnobbing with all the neighbors up the lane, one of them is a big birder. And in fact, she goes around with her sheet certain times a year and then records all the birds. And she was asking, could she come in through my yard and near the riverbed? Because she said she's heard some warbler sounds. And I'm like, Oh, really? I don't see them at my feeder. Oh, no, they don't ever come to the feeders. They only stay around the water and so forth. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, anyways, she kind of walked through the nature trail and, hey, you need to weed that and get rid of those honeysuckles. And, you know, you need to get rid of those, too. And like, oh, shoot, I got a honeydew list from a neighbor going on.
Neighbor.
But she was identifying all these birds that I didn't even know. And the oriole, it has this really unique nest. I'd never seen one before, but it's like a hanging basket from a tree. It's like a little sack. And I don't know how it attaches. It's almost like string attached to the end of a branch. And it's like this little bag sack, and he lives in it. And I'm like
a hammock?
Kind of, but it's like an enclosed, I don't
like
know how
it gets
in. Like
your wicker swing that you have?
Yeah, you know what? It is kind of like that. It's kind of hard to explain.
So he's been to like the Oreo equivalent of the Pier 1?
Yeah. So she was pointing one up, and I'm like, oh, that's where they live. So I don't know. I got some good bird education, and I was saying, hey, what's this one? I've never seen that before. Anyway, so.
I like birds, too. They're yummy.
Yeah, yeah. like them over here. So, yeah. That almost brings to mind some of the jokes that I won't share. But get your seed purchased and get your bird feeders out. It's a great time to see God's handiwork. And that's part of even some of the prayers that I shared on the Tuesday edition, Mark and Friends, that have been answered. I've always loved nature because it just reveals the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just his handiwork, even the colors, even the variations in the grass colors, let alone the trees and bark and leaves and then the animals and the wildlife, and I've just always connected with that and just think, as I walk through the yard, thank you, God, for your creation, for how uniquely you've made things, and everything's so different, and how anyone can think that it all just evolved just baffles me.
You know, I wrote a paper submitted to be published, but it never did. Never got that far, I guess. But on that very thought, it was our disconnect between God based on technology, and there's this phenomena in the counseling world that we call screen world. And what that is they did a poll, and they said that children, roughly about 9 and under, so this next generation that is very technologically savvy, they would rather sit at a computer screen and Google images of Egypt, say, than to actually go to Egypt, because they have a belief in their heart that they can experience everything they need to experience via the internet, and that way they can experience more in terms of information, but there's no tactile presence of it. And so I wrote this paper on the fact that I believe with all my heart that there's a disconnect because we've disconnected ourselves from God's creation. We're disconnected from God because we're disconnected from the world that he made. And I think about even in Genesis 1 pre the fall and post the fall too, God commanded Adam and all those to work the land, to be a part of it, to be a part of what it means to see the land grow and multiply and to care for it. I just wonder, with this technological revolution, you know, and our ability now to be at an arm's length or greater from God's creation, is that causing us to lose sight of God also?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you know, and then in the same token, obviously, I mean, my kids could look at Egypt on Google and then also at the same time click the link for Wikipedia and get all the information that they need on Egypt there and never even go there. You know, it's sort of like all the people who say, you know, I've read my Bible and I've learned a lot about Israel. But then when they go with you and they walk through the land of Israel, they're changed. Mm-hmm. And for some people, like for me, it was crazy things like the rocks in a street where you're just like, these are real rocks that real people stood on thousands upon thousands of years ago. I mean, life happened here. And so I think that if you don't go and you don't see that, that's why I love that area of Dan in the northern Israel where the tribe of Dan was, is when you walk through that nature preserve where they settled, you hear the birds and you hear the water, and there are some things that are irreducible. I mean, those sounds are irreducible. Those sounds were there thousands of years ago when they went there. So they would have walked through there and heard the birds and the wind rustling through the trees and the water of the Jordan rushing, and they would have heard all those things that would have made them think, God's blessing must be here. Mm-hmm. And so I think that when we disconnect ourselves from God's creation, we subtly, and then I think in a larger scale, disconnect ourselves from God.
Yeah. Well, and I've said this before, but I have found this to be very true. If I'm not walking my yard, if a month or a week or a month, but there's been seasons where 5 or 6 months. I've not even been in my yard because of busy schedules and workloads and travel and just consumed with other things. I know I'm out of balance. Absolutely know I'm out of balance because I love it so much. And when I walk through your yard and pick up sticks and just ponder the breeze or the leaves or the rustling of, you know, Beamer coming out of the woods and just seeing him, the activity of animals and creatures, it's like, I don't know. I just always identify with God, and I know I'm out of balance when I'm not doing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think about, like, you know, for me, it usually happens in spring or it happens in the fall, and it's like that first kind of day where the seasons change, and you go outside, and you get that real deep breath of, like, that new crisp fall air, that spring air where things are starting to bloom. And I always equate that with when Jesus talks with Nicodemus about the Spirit being like the wind or the breath. You know, you don't know where he's at, and it's like in that moment, I don't know how many of you out there have experienced this, but you breathe that air in and it just feels different than every other day where you've taken that breath. And I just make a deep connection with that, with God's presence.
Well, we've been breathing some new life into our prayer lives.
Wow, what a great transition.
Well, I know beforehand, we shared a little about yesterday's program and this new book that you've been reading about prayer, and it just seems to be one of those things, you know, how God works in patterns of three sometimes. He works all the times in all different ways, but oftentimes when we recognize like a pattern of three where you're talking about prayer, then somebody suggests a book, and then there's a radio program on prayer, or somebody sends you something, I'm praying for you, and you're like, I should take notice.
The fourth one's usually a lightning bolt. Right.
But it seems like both of us, I've absolutely loved the book you've shared on prayer, and then you're reading some other new books on prayer, and I just hope that God's going to continue to help foster in me that sense of connecting with him, communicating with him, learning about prayer, but not just learning about it, practicing and implementing it. And really, ultimately, prayer is just getting to know him, hearing from him, talking to him, opening up to him. And it's one of those things that it's like I've always done it, but it's like, oh, I'm such a novice at it, even though I've participated in prayer for probably 43 years.
Yeah, I'll share this. I was reading the book on Monday, my day off, and sitting at the table drinking coffee with my wife, and I said, oh my gosh, this is so convicting. And she pauses and she said, well, what is it? And I said, well, the book says here, you know, that we oftentimes in our prayer lives, we pray more for Aunt Nellie's next door neighbor's friend's daughter's roommate than we do for the proclamation and salvation that comes through the message of the gospel of Jesus. And I was like, you know, that is so true. I mean, we pray on a personal level, but we don't pray for the proclamation of the word to go forward and how it's going to save people. And what's really fascinating is a friend of mine said to me, they go, well, that's why the Apostle Paul says to pray without ceasing. And I said, yeah, but can we do that? Can we really truly do that? I mean, let's be honest. If we could really truly do what Paul says, pray without ceasing, then we wouldn't have verses like Romans 8:26, which tells us when we don't know how we ought to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us, and the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Because I think as human beings, it is impossible for us to pray without ceasing because we constantly want to hit the pause button. I mean, let me tell you what, I love praying in the morning. But when I wake up, my first inclination is to grab my phone or my iPad that's next to the bed so I can check my email. Or maybe I can play a quick game, or maybe I can, you know, check what's going on in the weather for the day, or maybe I can do that. Not only that, but I just want to stay in bed. Let's just be honest. I want to stay in bed. If I finally do get up out of bed, you know, then I go, oh, I should pray. And then I get caught into something else. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. We live in a world that moves nonstop. We're connected in so many different ways. We got email. Now we don't just have the, you know, when I was a kid, it was just the phone you had to answer. You know, and maybe the mail would come. So some point during the day, you go out and you get the letters and you'd open those and you would look at those. And then at some point, you would answer letters back. But now we have all this instantaneous things on our plate. We have emails and text messages and all these different things. And those things are all competing with God's method of communication with you. And so my challenge to everybody, or my question to everybody, is where is prayer in that? Can a text message from a friend disrupt your message from God? Can an email disrupt your need to do that? You know, sometimes I think maybe it drives people crazy, but I don't ever have the ringer on my phone on. And I don't have the ringer on my phone on because I am, as the hymn writer says, I am Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Hmm. I am prone to do that. So if I could be in the midst of Holy Spirit-driven, guided prayer that is just... And here, da-dunk.
Got to look at that text
message. And all of a sudden go, who is it? Who is it? I mean, the God of the universe is talking to you right there in that moment, and you go, I wonder what that is.
That was happening to me actually this morning. I was laying in bed praying and really, in a sense, connecting with God in a unique way. I was just reveling in that. And then that same thing happened. And I stopped. I abruptly stopped. It's like... I didn't just, like, cut God off. I just, like, put him on hold. I got something else I got to do, and I'm thinking, what is that? But like you said, that's possibly part of our fallen nature, our self-centeredness, or our preoccupation with our own lives or whatever. And it's like, you know, I kind of went back and said, God, what did I just do to you for this silly, it was like a non-text message from...
But you know what I think it is? And we don't have a lot of time here, but this is what I think it is. And I'll kind of take you to the edge of the cliff, and then I'll let you fall off on your own. Trust me, because we all will. But I really think that we like to make a lot of ourselves. We like to make much of ourselves and not much about God. You know, I think I said to you earlier, boy, you know, if we really read our Bible, it would keep us up at night sometimes. The things that happen in the Bible, the holiness of God, the loving nature of Jesus, the truth, the grace and the mercy it contains, I mean, it would keep us up at night because we would just be like, wow. I mean, have you ever seen a movie and you get done watching the movie and you have trouble going to bed after you see the movie because you're like, I can't believe the way that ended. I mean, I just can't believe what, and the twist in there. I can't believe, I mean, if we really read the Bible, we would experience that every single day. But I think we like to make much of ourselves and not much of God. And the same book where I read the quote about Aunt Nellie's mother's daughter's roommate and that, there's another great quote that really caught, another one that just kind of caught me off guard. And it says, God doesn't use people because they're gifted. God uses people because he's gracious.
Hmm.
God doesn't need my gifts. God uses me because he loves me and he's gracious. His use of me is an invitation by his grace and his mercy and his love because he wants to see me do more and be more than I can imagine, immeasurably more than I can imagine. That has to disrupt my own thoughts about myself. That has to disrupt how important I think Jason is.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that verse that also people say, God doesn't need our abilities, he needs our availabilities.
Right.
And that time is often when we pray to him, when we're silent before him, when we're listening to him, when we're reading his word, and we're attentive to what he's going to breathe as far as truth.
Listen, God is sending you right now in this moment a text message showing you, offering you, and inviting you into his grace. And he's got, there's competition, and you've got to decide which thing you want to answer. And I don't know about you, but I want to answer the message of mercy and grace and love that was displayed at the cross that rose out of the grave, whose name is Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for communicating with us. And thank you, God, for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can have this dialogue, this relationship with you. We don't deserve it, but you're a gracious, merciful God, and thank you for providing this way. Well, everybody, it's obvious today we need to pray.
We're going to let this message get disrupted so SRN News can come.
Yeah, that's right.
SRN News.
SRN News. So hold that thought, everyone, all day long. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.